Well, I don't mind ugly people, and I certainly don't mind fat people. But I do mind people that limp.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status. Whoa, so pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Hello there, my sweet and most wonderful lovies. It is your Auntie Vera Charles, and I am back again for another incredibly exciting episode of Eat This Hot Show. Along with me are my incredibly talented co-hosts. We have the former pole dancer turned Carmelite nun, Wanda Wisdom. Say hi, Wanda.
I did not know that I was an order of the caramel.
Yes, you are. And also joining us today, the former GM auto worker, now
I'm a podiatrist.
Madge Weinstein. Say hello, Madge.
Hello. Sorry.
Is it the East Coast Jews today that are Steens?
Yes. Steen, I got to get a chicken breast off the Foreman grill, so just go ahead with your business. Don't expect me to talk for 2 seconds.
You're getting a chicken breast off the Foreman grill. Well, yes. You know, normally that's your gig, Wanda, with the chicken breast, isn't it?
I do like myself a chicken breast on occasion, and by on occasion I mean 3 times a day. Yes.
Right. And you're still not sick of them.
I'm still not sick of them because a chicken breast is a vehicle for many flavors.
That is true.
Yes.
That is very, very true.
It's kind of like the tofu of the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
It's a flavor transfer system. That's what we like to call it.
Oh, I think
who's we? You and your carpool?
I was going to say that's a marketing.
The royal we. She's using the royal.
Well, I've gotten into the chicken business, and I just wanted everyone to know.
Do you know I actually want chickens? I'm trying to convince my boyfriend to put up a chicken coop in his backyard.
No, I have to put the screeching brakes sound effect in. We've still got a boyfriend.
Yes, it's been...
That is how long now?
Well over a year.
No way, and they said it wouldn't last.
Who said that?
I don't know. Someone said it. I heard it somewhere.
It's all true.
My uncle has chickens in his backyard.
We're not interested in you yet, Matt.
Is he an urban dweller?
No, he lives in Hamilton, New York.
I don't know what that means.
Home of Colgate University.
Oh. But I want chickens in the backyard.
All right. Well, get a couple bags of them frozen.
Now, I'm hosting this train wreck today, and I've got absolutely nothing. But I did want to clear up something from last week, and that was there were some volume issues, some leveling volume issues that I would like to apologize for. But I would also like to blame you for, because it really is your fault and the way you so unprofessionally work the microphone, because you lean away from it, you relax, then you lean into it and blast it, then you lean back. To level that volume is nearly impossible.
Are you talking to Madge?
Yeah,
I'm talking to Madge. You're fine.
Thank God.
Except, and how come her volumes were bad too? What's your excuse for her?
Her volumes were fine. I listened to the show on the way to Ventura in the car, and that's the sure way to tell if volumes are fucked up when you've got a lot of signal to noise ratio going on in a car. And you were way soft, and you're way soft because you fuck up with the way you work your mic. And for me to level you, I have to take your softest and pump it up 250%, and that makes your loudest blaring.
Well, now that we've alienated the 4 listeners that remain.
But Vera, the thing is, when I do my own show, I use a compressor. I don't use a compressor when I give it to you because I figure you would want it in its more raw format so you have more leeway. So I can compress it though for you. I mean, it's fine.
Well, since you work the mic the way you do, back and forth, it would probably be better to send it to me compressed.
All right, no problem.
Since I have this massively, incredibly wonderful Pro Tool system that does everything but brush your teeth, and all I know how to do is to press the record button. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty typical.
That's pretty typical
of me.
Okay. I'll just compress it.
So we can move on. Wanda, you're bored with this topic. Would you like to talk about the fact that your former, or at least your alter ego's former employer, is backing a Nazi?
I have no comment.
What? Target?
No, I've seen that. And, you know, here's what my first of all, explain the situation.
Yeah.
Yes. The Target is funding or campaign funding an organization which is supporting for governor this super right-wing anti-gay asshole. And so Target is trying to now, its CEO is coming out and trying to weasel its way out of the fact that it is supporting this this right-wing wacko.
Now here,
what's he saying?
Now,
Wanda, do you know what the CEO of your former employer is saying?
No, I actually haven't. What I've seen, and I haven't checked today yet, but what I've seen up to this point is that they're basically making the same argument that they made whenever people would question what their PAC, their political action committee, had made contributions for in the past, which is we make decisions to contribute to candidates based solely on economic issues or business-related issues. And what is different, I think, about this particular situation is this is coming directly from the corporation thanks to the change in contribution law or whatever you want to call it. You know, the Supreme Court decision that basically said corporations have a right to spend money in elections.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this is actually, I think it turns out that this is going to be a wonderful ruling because now corporations will be able to not give through the filter of a political action committee, but they'll be giving in their own name to political candidates. And then purchasers of their product, consumers, can decide, oh, I don't want to go to this retailer because they're supporting candidates that I don't. So I think that the math just got a lot easier for people to do in their heads in terms of who's really, you know, behind.
So now there's going to be red stores and blue stores, and Target is obviously red.
Well, I mean, what blue store is there going to be? Because the other news was that Best Buy is doing the same thing. So it's just, you know, the corporations are just doing what they've always done, but it's more transparent now in the sense that you don't have to like dig through. Well, what is this? Who's funding this political action committee? You know,
Apple doesn't. Apple's very liberal with their contributions.
Well, only because as a function of their business, they're able to. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's to expect a business to do anything but protect its bottom line is, you know, to expect them to be altruistic is.
No, but you
nice.
Can do that and not be Republican, just like a rich person can be a Democrat and not, you know, a Republican. Now you can respect your, you can protect your bottom line and still be a Democrat and not support a fascist, you know, Nazi.
Can I also say that I think that you can be, you don't have to be totally, completely, fanatically one side or the other. There is a wonderful balance, and I'm not talking about the middle of the road people and all that nonsense, but I'm talking about, you know, primarily one or the other, but have just flavorings of a contrary belief. I don't know why we've got a concept. Well, I do because people are stupid, but we've got this concept that you have to be one or the other. I mean, you know, there's the old fiscally conservative but socially liberal, that kind of thing.
Well, you used to be able to. Unfortunately, the people that are, you know, controlling the parties at this point have decided that they're not really, well, I should say on at least, you know, on the Republican side, that they're not interested in involving a large, broad, diverse group of people.
You are right that they're the most fracturing of anybody are the party leaders and the parties themselves. They're the most divisive of because they are becoming fanatical groups.
We just opened a new mega Target in my neighborhood this weekend. It's huge.
You did? Do you own part of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I own all the black people that work there.
Oh, what? I see. Because, you know,
you cannot
you said
say
I own-
that.
Well, he means owned in the popular sense, Wanda, not owned as in slavery, because that would be in terribly bad taste. And Madge never says anything Mm-mm. in terribly bad taste. Mm-mm. So you know how the kids nowadays say, "Oh, you're owned."
Oh,
no.
So
cooned.
What did you just say, Madge?
I don't remember.
So she's saying, well, she's, you know what? Somehow critically more astute than the black people that go to the Target.
that would be something that Madge would say, yes.
I was doing what my first grade teacher used to say, ask a silly question, get a silly answer.
True. So what about this mega Target now?
Well, it's all gay. I went there on Sunday morning, and it was all these gay men with their trophy wives, as Margaret Cho would express her, their, you know, Latin and Thai trophy husbands, all there buying their goddamn futons and shit and pillows.
Did you say enemas? Latin and Thai?
Yes. Yeah, I did. What should I say, Latin and Asian? Sorry. They're all Thai.
I just wanted clarification.
I thought listen, you were talking about neckwear.
Oh, for God's sake. The thing is, I needed a coffee, and I went there, and they had dog toys. They have a great dog toy selection and dog thing. But it's a normal Target, but I'm thinking this is a bad timing in the news because this Target is all gay, and that in the new one, it's all gay people. It's going to be the new Home Depot of homos. So, but I don't buy it just because from what I know about Target, just, I mean, they're so gay, pro-gay generally, aren't they? I mean, you used to work there. They have a whole, like, representation of gay to homosexuals and redundancy departments, things like that.
Well, I just think, I don't know. I think in this particular situation, it really, well, I hope it'll give people the opportunity to stop and take a step back and realize that corporations, regardless of how they spend their money trying to concoct a brand that, you know, ooh, it's gay friendly or it's this friendly mm-hmm. or that friendly. You know, there's still businesses.
Follow the money.
And you shouldn't feel that much of an affiliation. I know we do because we're conditioned to do this. Like, I feel really good about certain brands because it sort of blends with my perceived notion of their morals or whatever. But I just think in the long run, that's a bad thing. I do not think we should be giving emotions.
I think it depends. I mean, it's wrong. I see what you're saying. I mean, it's wrong to base your emotions on the branding of a particular product that's determined by a marketing department and a public relations department. On the other hand, you can, you know, decide there is a way to decide whether you want to give your money to a certain company based on real information, which is where their money
goes. Anything to make a rational decision about where you're going to put your money. That's why I think that Supreme Court ruling is going to turn out in the long run to do a lot of good, because people will see that, you know, you can make the math by saying, I'm not going to go to this store because I know portions of the proceeds of my, you know, purchase mm-hmm. are directly funding certain candidates that I may or may not agree with.
Right.
So anything that gives people more, you know.
It's interesting. Yeah, I hope that's true. Mm-hmm.
Blaho.
Bladel. I ate that chicken too fast. It tasted like rubber.
Well, it's because you cooked it on that stupid grill.
No, it's because I overcooked on that stupid grill from a frozen state. Get it right.
What?
You're awfully testy this morning, Madge. Is there any particular reason?
Yeah, but I can't figure it out.
It's just innate testiness for some reason, just
You know, it's kind of like a mixture of too humid, wrong side of the bed, and not so fresh. I don't really know. I mean, there's really no reason why I shouldn't feel good. Maybe it's because I took my antidepressant a little too late, and I just got off the phone with United Healthcare trying to find a psychiatrist that will accept the insurance, and so far I've not had any luck with the psychiatrist I was referred to. So I'm, you know, so that's nice. If anybody knows of a good psychiatrist in Chicago, right, sure, like there is such a thing. Never mind. Anyway, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, because you are particularly testy, and I just wanted to know why. So it's very
well, also,
human
I got
Chicago,
annoyed because of the technical shit, because I really wanted to get done in time. And we will. We'll get done at one, I know. But it would just be nice for once for this show to go on schedule.
Well, and I must say that this morning it was my fault because apparently there's a technical glitch when we try to sync up our sound.
Yeah, but that's not really your fault.
We have to do it a different way. So
I'm not ascribing blame. I'm just saying it's just a grumpiness. That's all.
I understand. Is there any new exciting duty porn that's been going on with any more?
You know what? That's what Yeast Radio is for. I love how you try and trip me up into getting to be all nasty on the show so you can yell at me like you did last week. Oh, no, don't we have to talk about Cheryl? Let's talk about Cheryl.
Oh, there we go.
There was a very wonderful blood duty.
Can we play a noise the first time that creature gets brought up on this program?
By we, you mean Vera, because she's the one responsible.
Would you please insert some sort of like...
A Cheryl noise?
Like, here's your first... Get ready for it!
What I was really was gonna ask you about your work, but I guess we'll avoid that.
We had a blood shit. Next topic, but there is something I do want to talk about. If we're on me,
sure, we're on you.
This is part of the reason why
we're always on you.
Oh, fuck off! Of course you are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
I have this travel itch, like nobody's business, and it's driving me crazy. And this is what happens. And used to be when I had money. Some money as opposed to negative money, I would travel about every 3 months because I get this itch. Well, it's been a lot longer than that. It's been over a year, aside from, you know, a couple short work trips. Like, I need to fucking go to Europe. I need to go to Europe and get my, you know, I just need to
get your euro on.
That's where I get grounded. Like, when I set my feet in, you know, Amsterdam's cobblestone streets with the canals and the peaceful sounds bouncing off the canals and being in Bicycle Mark's bloat, this is where I get my grounding. And I don't get grounded here.
You think that that's kind of the grass is always greener and...
No, I'm talking about I need a fucking vacation. I'm not talking about I need to live there, although I have talked about that. What I'm saying is I need...
Normally you talk about moving and living there.
Right. I need a fucking reboot. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. And what's money is preventing you from doing that?
Actually, it's more time because I don't have the money, but I do have enough miles to do it on my American Airlines. But
just trying to get away from the Coco Dorm.
Yeah, because I can get away, but I don't want to get away and then have my work be done by somebody else because I really need the money, which would be fine for 2 weeks. But I don't want them to like get somebody else to doing what I do because right now I'm the only one. You know what I mean?
Yes, protecting my territory. Remain valuable.
I'm protecting my turf.
Uh-huh.
Blaho. That's all.
Blaho.
We're done with me. That's it.
Well, then we should move on to Wanda.
Ooh.
Wanda.
What do you?
Hi there.
Hi there, ladies. What do you want to know?
Well, hi there, ho there, and hello there would be nice.
Well, you know, here my problem with this show, and I do have a huge problem with this show, is that I always tend to want to talk about what's going on in our lives, and you have made that, both of you made that patently clear that that's not what you'd prefer. So I know you did, and I'm very proud of you. I have a pride that I can't even express.
I think we should just talk about what we are going to talk about for the entire time and then go.
I want to talk about, well, we don't have to, but one of the things that's been making me crazy this morning is that for the first time in Minnesota, a small town has decided that they are going to be English only.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know anybody spoke anything but English.
I know. Well.
Hi there. Ho there. Hello there.
Hello there, ladies.
You mean British people only?
No. No. Lino Lakes, which is a small town here in Minnesota, has decided. Yeah.
They make butter?
No, that's Land O'Lakes. But there is a Land O'Lakes, Minnesota.
Oh.
I think. I might have just made that up. Lino Lakes approves English only ordinance. Now, get this story.
Yeah.
So nobody's ever asked for any city services or documents to be translated into any other language other than English.
Well, can I just interject real quick? Don't lose your thought. But what do they speak? Scandinavian? What the fuck other language do you speak in Minnesota? There aren't population.
Actually, here in Minneapolis, for example. Now that's probably the extreme in Minnesota because we're the most diverse community in the state. However. You know, you can take your driver's test in English, Spanish, Somali, Hmong, because we have very large populations of those communities.
Hmong?
Hmong.
Hmong? I thought that was a bean.
No, not Hmong. I thought that was poopy. Bean, but Hmong, the people that fought valiantly on the side of the capitalist American imperialists during Vietnam, were allowed to come over to this country because they were, you know, they kind of were on the wrong side over there. So anyway, we have a large population of, and they've turned out to be great farmers. And anyway, long story short,
too late.
People translate those documents for, you know, driver's licenses and different things in other languages. Well, in Lino Lakes, they decided that they were going to spend their precious, you know, time meeting and governing the city of Lino Lakes by passing an ordinance to prevent the city from spending any of its money on translating anything into any other language other than English, even though nobody has ever done it. And they had to create exemptions for the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which says that you have to make, you know, a basic attempt to communicate to people that have limited English understanding. So it was just like a patently political move. And you had all of these, and I posted on it on my face, and, you know, got a couple people who just went on this tirade about, you're in America, you got to speak American, and these people, we shouldn't waste all this money. And I'm like, but nobody's...
Your Facebook friends said that?
Some people on my Facebook, yeah.
Delete them.
Well, you know, that's actually one of them wasn't my Facebook friends because it's all, you know, open. But regardless of that, people can have their own opinions.
No, they can't.
But I just don't understand.
I'm deleting you.
Why people, why, what other explanation could there be than just politics? It's, because nobody's ever asked for this goddamn thing. Because
somebody wants to be, yeah, politics. Somebody wants to be.
It's a weird place to take a stand. You know, I understand it down here.
You're in the land of, like, white people. Not that everybody in Lino Lakes is white, but for Christ's sake, it's Minnesota. This is not like...
Wanda, it's very simple. It's called a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Apparently, because I'm talking about it.
Can I read a story that I just found? It's really ridiculous.
Yes.
Of course.
It's Los Angeles, of course. Ever worried about having an ugly baby? Fret not. A popular dating website exclusively for beautiful people has branched out to provide a fertility forum aimed at creating beautiful babies. Criticized by some as narcissism gone mad, the project was launched in June shortly after beautifulpeople.com booted out 5,000 people who gained weight and were deemed too ugly to remain members.
Does Cheryl own this business?
Ding, ding, ding.
Now you just did it.
Presented as a solution for parents who worry about having ugly children, the fertility forum is like, quote, any charitable work, according to managing director Greg Hodge, good-looking Brit. It's a noble cause for those going through the difficult experience of failing to conceive, he told AFP, explaining that the site gets no payments for directing donors and recipients to professional clinics. The forum is accessed through the beautifulpeople.com website, which was founded in 2002, blah, blah, blah. Those wanting to submit a photo for approval by their peers, some 600,000 people, pay to be a part of the network that proudly styles itself as the world's largest community of beautiful people. Quote, it's completely democratic. If you secure enough positive votes, you're accepted. If not, you're shown the door, said Hodge. In a major departure for the beautifulpeople.com founders, even ugly people are allowed to subscribe to the new forum. Oh, how nice of them. Browsing for attractive sperm and egg donors to ultimately improve their gene pool.
Oh, my God. This is not serious.
This is serious. And here's a quote. But everyone, including ugly people, would like to bring good-looking children into the world. And we can't be selfish with our attractive gene pool.
Oh. That's revolting. That is revolting. And it is typical L.A. Yeah. It is so fucking typical L.A.
How can that be typical of anything? That's fucking insane.
Well, my God, the vacuity of people that live here, the in crowd in Los Angeles is revolting. I mean, just it worse than mass murderers. These people are, because all they care about is themselves. Mm-hmm. That's all they care about. And they don't care about anything else at all. And It is evident in every aspect of their lives, and it's repulsive. It is disgustingly repulsive. I'm almost losing what breakfast I had if I had breakfast, because living here is very, very difficult, because you find this.
Give me an example in your daily life of how you have to battle this shit.
Well, especially in my daily life, because I'm in the business, and the business breeds it. The business absolutely, you know, you get further when you're self-centered.
What is it like? My voice is better than your voice. I'm not talking to you unless you have beautiful voice genes.
It's this. Hey, John, how are you today? Mm-hmm. Well, I just booked a series over at Fox, and tomorrow I'm auditioning for a 20. I was asking about, you know, the cancer that's running through your body. it's disgusting.
You know, I
sounds like they don't care about themselves. They care about their surface.
I heard a story. I listened to this podcast out of the BBC called, oh God, I don't even know. But it's this guy named Laurie. What's his name? Laurie something or other.
Anyway, that's a girly name.
It's basically a sociologist's wet dream of a program. And he discussed, Laurie Taylor, he discussed a variety of different issues. And one of his most recent podcasts, he talked about physiognomy or physiognomy. Mm-hmm. So basically the science of judging people based on their outward appearance. And, you know, like that takes all sorts of forms. But one interesting contribution was this lady who's working on research to say that, like, as our societies become larger and larger and, you know, people are forced into cities where they're confronted with like tons and tons of people and they're forced to make decisions very quickly about the character of people and whether or not to trust them, that people increasingly use physical cues to determine whether or not they think someone is genuine or someone is benevolent, altruistic, whatever. And, you know, it's just interesting because, like, you're just forced to make decisions. And so the only evidence you have is to just judge people physically. So I don't know if that long term means.
Well, I don't mind ugly people and I certainly don't mind fat people, but I do mind people that limp.
That's totally understandable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're done with that one?
I was going to say, way to take the wind out of that sail.
It was just an, you know,
okay.
An aside.
Now, I have a question, and I just, you know, sometimes I know when I'm just going to jump right into it, step right into it, and yet, for some reason, I just fucking step right into it anyway. But I didn't want to leave something without at least discussing it a little bit. And that is the question of living in a country and learning the language of the country. Do you think that that is something that is the polite right thing to do or not?
Well,
sure it is.
You know, that's the ridiculous thing about this, because people always turn it into, well, you're living in this country, you got to learn English. Well, duh, and everybody does, or we'd all be speaking the language of our grandparents, for Christ's sake. You know, I mean, that's, if you look at the evidence, that's what just galls me more than anything, is when people don't, I mean, why is English still the language that most people speak in this country? Because if you want to get along here, you're going to speak the language that allows you to advance through society, whether you live in the United States or Sweden. So to argue that that's changed in any way fundamentally just seems contrary.
See, I was listening
evidence.
To an interview about this yesterday, and the person said, you know, America is the only country in the world where learning more than one language is considered something bad and not a good thing. We frown upon being bilingual or trilingual, polylingual. We frown on it. We think it's bad to be educated, to know more rather than less. No other country in the world thinks that knowing less languages is better than knowing more. It's completely ludicrous and anti-intellectual, I mean, to an extreme. It's like, but why should you learn algebra when you can learn math? It's just, you know, or arithmetic, rather. Why would I want to know algebra? I have, Why do I need calculus? I have algebra. Yeah, I mean, it's just that simple. Well, see, now
what you're doing, you are bringing in a totally other subject, which is the state of America's educational mm-hmm. system, which is
But I think it's related to that.
Disastrous. Yeah. I mean, our educational system is a wreck. Mm-hmm. Beyond, almost as bad as the self-centered people in L.A.
Right.
It isn't, yeah. Mm-hmm. But more on point. Now, Wanda, you said you don't think that it's increased. I live in Los Angeles, as I've said 1,000 times, and mm-hmm. the Latin American Mexican population has exploded in the years that I've lived here.
Well, it's true, obviously, that the demographics of the United States are changing, and primarily what that means is they're becoming less white. It doesn't mean that they're becoming less diverse. It just means that they're becoming less white.
Right, exactly, and that isn't even a concern of mine. But I'm wondering if, with this massive influx of non-English speaking people, and I mean that,
yeah,
where you'll look at a person and you'll say, "Can you show me where thus and such is?" or "Is this the right street to go?" and they'll look at you totally blankly because there is no understanding of the language, is the norm here.
Well, but I imagine if you were living in San Francisco about the turn of the century and you wandered down the wrong street, you'd be hard-pressed to find people that spoke English enough to give you directions to find your way around town, because there were entire communities of, you know, people that spoke nothing but Chinese. Or in Minnesota, right. If you walk down a certain neighborhood, you know, most of the people, except for the children, spoke only Swedish. So that's why, like, people just need to take a step back and ask themselves why. Because we've been saying these things ever since I was a kid. I heard people saying things like, "We got to speak English only because this country's going to turn into, you know, X, Y, and Z." It's not that there are not, that our society doesn't constantly change, but there's nothing to fear by people who come to
this. This is what happens when an economy goes bad, is they always blame the immigrants. That's how it's been since forever.
And it always happens that the parents struggle with learning English, but their kids are usually the ones that, you know, become fluent English speakers, and by their children's generation, they don't even have a knowledge of their, you know, grandparents' original language. Now, if you can show me that there's evidence that that is radically different, then, you know, we could have a reasoned debate about the importance of emphasizing English versus Spanish. But I don't even know that it matters, because ultimately we're not in control. If 20 years from now, the majority of...
And I'm not... Can I just say that I'm not advocating anything? I am truly questioning...
Yeah, no, and I'm not... What, I'm not determining, you know, I'm not trying to say...
Well, what, I've the joke here is that I'm the right-wing nut job, right. And I'm not. And I... Yeah,
but,
right. And I'm not.
But even if you were, it's okay, because there are a lot of people who feel the same way. And I'm just saying that, like, if in 20 years we're all speaking Spanish, who cares? Do you read right. history? I mean, there was a period of time where, you know, people spoke a version of English that's radically different than what we spoke today because a bunch of French people came over. But there's, you know what I mean? It's not like the world came to an end. I mean, it did for the people who died, but you know what I'm saying.
I have a very strong
Which is pretty much
feeling.
Everyone who lived at that
yeah,
time.
Because they're all dead.
Not pretty much. It was everyone. They're all
Eventually.
Dead. Life did end.
I have a very strong feeling that simply by virtue of numbers, that probably our native tongue will be Spanish in not very long. And who says that's right or wrong, basically?
Well, we are the number two Spanish-speaking country in the world next to Mexico.
Well, and the only thing that's going to determine what changes that...
What about Spain?
If history's any...
More so than Spain.
If history's any indication... What will determine what we speak is the language of business. So what business people speak is the language that, you know, the majority of us are going to end up speaking. So, you know, but people...
I don't care. I don't owe any sort of allegiance to English. I really don't care. It just happens to be the language I know the best. I could give a shit. I really just don't care. I don't know why it matters.
Well, you know, I see a lot of, especially living here, I see a lot of the anger on both sides.
Yeah.
And believe me, it's a very, very angry topic. It's a very angry subject. And I also see everything here, and it started, if it didn't start here, this is one of the very first places where we had signs in both English and Spanish. And there are people that believe that that shouldn't be, that talking about in Minnesota, what brought this whole thing up, is that there shouldn't be options for people to read the driver's manual in Spanish or take the test in Spanish, that it should be English. I don't see that as being right. But again, I think, and hear me out, I think you have an obligation to have a minimal understanding of a language when you have chosen to live in that country.
No, when you become a citizen, you do.
Yes, absolutely. If I were going, well, if you a lot of people are becoming citizens of their own volition. They're not becoming citizens through the following the rules door. So that's another topic. But if I go to live in Germany, I sure as fuck, which I never would do, but I sure as fuck am going to learn, minimally learn how to communicate in German and learn enough of the language to be able to be communicative, to be able to convey what I need to convey. I'm going to do that out of, first of all, necessity, and second of all, out of respect for the country I'm living in.
Yeah, but
I hate the attitude that the Americans have that it's the American way or no way, it's English or no. That's bullshit, you know? It's crap. And that mentality of these colors don't run and my country right or wrong, those people should be hung up by their titties. I think I made my point to me, if someone comes to this country, regardless of where they're coming from, and they don't make an effort at all, and it's apparent that they haven't made an effort to be able to communicate, it's rude.
Yeah, but
so
see,
what?
That's
it's rude. Listen, let me make a point here. This right. doesn't matter what language people speak and whether or not they're rude. I mean, if they don't decide not to learn the language, well, then they're the ones that are going to suffer for it. You know, but on the other hand, you know, if you're dying in the middle of wherever it is in LA that everybody speaks Spanish and you can't speak a word of Spanish, then you'll probably just die. So it would be useful to you to know Spanish just as it would for them to know English. But that's all like stuff that you know, there's personal consequences here. The real problem, though, is that in Arizona, people are packing up and selling all their belongings because they're being chased out of the state like the Jews were chased out of Nazi Germany. That's the real problem, not the fucking language. Who cares?
I think that that's a bad analogy. I don't think that you can compare what's going on in Arizona with what went on in Nazi Germany.
You can compare what went on at the beginning.
Well,
sure
I was
going to
say you can walk it back, and it's just, you know, again, it's kind of like that debate about welfare where, you know, you blame, like there's this just race of people running around trying to sit on their ass and not, you know, make a life for themselves. There are always people who, you know, I'm sure there's like some guy in LA who's like, I don't want to learn English, blah, blah, blah. But like Madge said, that person's going to pay a price for it. And ultimately, we don't need government to force people to do anything. Society will just take care of itself, as it always has. I mean, there are benefits to learning English. The people that do will succeed. The other ones, you know, won't, yeah. Or they'll just continue to exist.
Right. What matters are people's liberties. Right now, or whenever the law takes effect, I'm not sure if it took effect yet, but if you look Latin, which is obviously
it takes effect
very
Thursday.
Okay. If you, whether you look Latin, you could be an Arab, you could be somebody who's tan, whether or not you look it, you have to have proof proving that you're an American with you, or you get thrown into some sort of detention, get your freedom taken away. That is not too far away from having to wear a Star of David to, you know, or, and to carry your identification papers with you at all times. It's not too far, and it's definitely going in that direction.
You know, I very much want to read, and I am not supporting or disavowing the Arizona ruling. I would love to read it exactly and find out exactly what it says, because I can't make a cogent argument if I don't know exactly what it says. I know that it is causing tremendous controversy, and indeed, if it is allowing people to be stopped simply because of the way they look, that is horrific. But I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that it is or isn't. That's what I'm saying. I'm ignorant of the law, so I don't know. So I can't make an argument with you about it. But I can tell you that I don't think that this country would allow it to go that far. I think what's happening is people are raging against a machine and trying to find scapegoats in to blame for what's going
on. But you're describing early Nazi Germany. To a T.
Yes. I mean,
you don't think it would go
economic,
that far. That's exactly what the Nazis said.
There was an economic collapse. And
I mean,
somebody,
what the people said.
Somebody came to power under the premise that the problems facing their society were based on a group of people. It was not the underlying, you know, mechanics of the economy that, you know, the class in power, you know, the mistakes that they made. It was the Jews. And it's slowly but surely over time. I mean, the people that were living in Germany in the late 1920s, they didn't see the freight train coming, but it still came. And it was the same premise that, you know, you can blame all of this society's evils on one group of people. And it's not that, you know, I mean, it's not that that's the same conclusion, but it certainly smells the same.
Just a second. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. Yes.
Did you see my Skype message?
Yes. Because, well, that's what happened is it beeped and I had to go look at what it said.
Okay.
And in order to do that, I can cut all of that silence out and it'll be a wonderful show. Ladies, it is time to wrap up this wonderful.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing how that happened?
That was cheap.
That was not cheap. Well, that was me. I did that just like I did to you last week. I got to go.
So, yeah. Apparently, you only sent the Skype message to me, Madge.
You are
Well, you're the one sharing the thing.
You are such a Nazi, Madge.
Yeah, you are. And I can see that. Is that the gas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can smell it. I want to thank my wonderful co-hosts, Ms. Wanda Wisdom of WandaWisdom.com and LavenderMagazine.com and all of those .coms that she's affiliated with. Say bye-bye, Wanda.
Buenos dias, muchas gracias, and thank you very much.
Now in Japanese.
Arigato gozaimasu!
And I would also like to thank the incredible, the incomparable, the fat, ugly, stinky lesbian, Ms. Madge Weinstein. Say bye-bye, Madge.
Goodbye, everyone. Have a nice week.
And I'm your Auntie Vera Charles of VeraSpeaks.com. By the way, Madge is yeastradio.com. Yeastradio.com.
And by the way, I have to say that I fixed the donate link. You can donate to us on the website.
Donate to us, especially if you're Latin American or a Jew. Thank you so much. I am Vera Charles of VeraSpeaks.com. It's been wonderful to be with you. Bye-bye, bye bonds, and catch you on the rebound.
Turtles! I was going to say, way to take the wind out of that sail.